Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is the No Chaser. I'm the co-host. Jerry is my name. Taylor's the last name. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. And then we also have on the line the man who's got the plan, the host of this show. His name is Mac Williams. What's up, Mac?
What's up, brother? How you been?
Okay.
Great. Get right to it. Just wanted to say, first of all, thanks to all those who do listen to the show. It's coming to the end of a year. I can't remember when we started the show, but this will be I can't remember the date. I got to actually talk to my boss and see when we started. But it's coming to the end of the year. I just want to say thanks to all those who have been on the show. Thanks to all those who have listened to the show, even on the archives, if you're not listening to it up front. And I really appreciate that. And I just want to say I appreciate having Jerry as a co-host this past year.
Same here, my brother.
Looking forward to next year. that leads me to my next thing in that. One of the things I've been thinking about in the last month and a half is I've been thinking about getting a little more serious about the show. I kind of feel like a guy with a gun, and I'm just got buckshot everywhere, and I just spray it. And I think one of the things that I can do to make this show better is to promote more, which I'm going to determine to do next year, and also have more guests. And schedule it out. What I mean by that is talk to people ahead of time, get them to, you know, to get a calendar with people and just say, these are the people I'm going to have on. All of them won't be big names. Some of them will be local people who are doing stuff, but I think I need to use the show not only for sports or politics or whatever I want to talk to, but I also think I need to use it as an outlet to talk to people who are locally in the area or people that I know or meet who are doing important things or doing things that people need to know about. And if they want to do the show, they'll do the show. And then if they want to pass that link on to their people or followers or whoever, I think that'll help us get a lot of listeners also down the way.
Give them a little platform. I hear you.
Right. And then at the same time, if they hear their relative or their friend or their coworker or whatever on the show, they're more than likely to come back to the show to listen to it again when their friend or somebody is not on there. So there are some steps I'm trying to take and plan to get the show a little more play, a little more listeners and things like that. I haven't been really following how many listeners I have or how many archive listeners I have, but I think I need to do a little bit better job as the host to give us more exposure to grow the audience and to make sure it's a show that is listened to a lot more than it is. So that's
okay.
That's one of my New Year's resolutions that I'm going to do is take the show a little more serious and have a little more focused in what we do, so it's kind of planned.
Okay, so, and for your edification, the first show was May 18th of this year.
So next May we'll be celebrating a year. So
yes.
It was May 18th. Let me write that
yes.
down.
May 18th, sure 2012, absolutely.
2012, all right, good. I'm glad you said that. And, you know, like I said, I just think the stats can get better. I can get better. I don't feel like I've done my due diligence with it. So, you know, in thinking about that, I was just thinking, I was like, man, you know what, I have a tremendous opportunity, and there's no need to not take it serious and squander it and just use it, you know, to be a platform to other people locally and getting them on and getting them on the show and using them to enhance the show. It brings more to the show when you have guests and people who can offer more. So we're going to be doing that starting in January.
Okay.
Probably not with the first show, but I'm already in the beginning stages of planning shows and just planning out date Fridays when I can say, okay, can you be on this Friday? Great. Okay, now I can start running promos a little bit earlier
mm-hmm.
instead of the same week, give it a 2-week promo. You
right.
know, and in that way, we'll spread the people out, and people, we got a chance to generate some buzz and generate some people who will listen. So we're going to go with that and see how that goes also. In talking this week, a couple of things I want to address, and I want your feeling on it. And if you guys want to, and if anybody's listening wants to call in, please, by all means, call in and join the discussion. One of the things I wanted to talk about was was this whole Jets debacle with the quarterback. And I knew this would be something that I would definitely get you involved in. But I'll just start out by saying, you know, I find it hard, even though I thought Rex Ryan was going to be fired at the end of the season, but I'm kind of getting the feeling that he's not. And that they're kind of going to give him a little more room because he had the two appearances for the conference. And I think that they're going to let him ride out the excuse of, I didn't have a lot of players and they have a tremendous amount of injuries. Do I think that, you know, but I'll just say this, and I'm going to just say this once and for all. I am kind of sick of the whole Tim Tebow can't throw, can't do this, can't do that. And I'm going to tell you why. In the years that he's been in here, I understand his throwing motion ain't great. I understand he's not. But here's my problem with the argument. For one, everything he accomplished in college wasn't a fluke. I understand he's not the same guy in the pros. And I understand what they say. They see him in practice and he can't do it. Blah, blah, blah. That's fine. The only thing I say is this. Give the guy a fair shot. Give the guy a year to do it. Give him the job. Nobody's given him the job. Really given him the job. It's the only time he's gotten a chance has been by default. And in that time when he had it by default, he performed. He won games. No matter what anybody says he looks like in practice, no matter how horrible they are, the guy has won. He wins the game. He's done that. So here's my point. I would be willing to sit and say with anybody out there, he's horrible. He can't get it done if you give him the job from the beginning of the year through the end. Then we will know what Tim Tebow is and what he isn't. Can he get it done or not get it done? Because I don't think the Heisman Trophy that he won and the performance at Florida was a fluke. I understand a lot of people say he had a lot of talent around him, but for me, I just that's the only thing I ask for is give the guy a shot. Stop telling me what he was in practice and stop telling me secondhand from people who were at the place or with him and this, saying all that stuff. Because if you sit and tell me that Mark Sanchez is better than Tim Tebow, you're freaking kidding me. After what I saw that garbage the other night, that's great. I thought it was bad. When I saw that, I was like, Slim, I couldn't even – I was flabbergasted at how bad he was. I was just like, and y'all tell me Tim Tebow's worse than this dude? You got to be out of your mind.
Well, you know what? I've been bad-mouthed, been talked about, been saying all kinds of names or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there's only one thing I have to say to mm-hmm. all those naysayers that dogged me out when I decided to change allegiance to another team. I told you so.
Yep.
All I got to tell you is I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the last football season, I
mm-hmm.
told you so.
Mm-hmm.
It come March, April, May, June, July, August, September, up until this month, I told you so.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed.
No. Nope.
It's only gotten worse. It's
mm-hmm.
one big circus. And I'm sorry, Mac. Tim Tebow is not the answer. He's not even close to
being. I'm not even saying he's the answer. Here's what I'm saying. I agree. I'm not saying he's the answer in New York. I don't think it's the right place for him. But here's my problem. I don't fault him because he was brought there.
Yes.
It wasn't like he lobbied for the job. He was brought there thinking
yes.
that he would get at least a chance.
Yes.
My problem is you brought him there and you did nothing with him.
Yes.
And then all I hear is from disgruntled, jealous, or angry players that he's horrible in practice. And then when I see what you're putting out on the field as your starter, I'm going like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, but the problem is this. When you put Tim Tebow in for mm-hmm. more than a few gimmick plays.
Mm-hmm.
Those gimmick plays now turn into the full-blown game plan. Now you have to turn over completely because he cannot perform in a regular offense
mm-hmm.
because his skill set is for the read option type of offense that
mm-hmm.
you see him come in and run
mm-hmm.
for a few plays.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened last year? That time has passed. They caught up to that. Late in the season, especially when he played the Patriots, and up until now, that's why you don't see him in there that much, because the fact is when he does come in there, they're ready for whatever gimmick plays he's going to run because
uh-huh.
it's passé now. It was the last half of the season. It caught a lot of people off guard. They couldn't prepare for it. They didn't know how to prepare for it.
Uh-huh.
Well, they had a whole off season to be able to deal with the type of skill set that Tim Tebow has. And
mm-hmm.
when he has to pass the ball, and you saw it last year when he was in the playoffs and several games in the regular season, he's a very inaccurate quarterback, and he's not a very strong-arm quarterback. So
mm-hmm.
this year, I understand that Mark Sanchez
mm-hmm.
was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
The problem wasn't Mark Sanchez being horrible and them not going to Tim Tebow. The problem was they had Mark Sanchez. They had Tim Tebow. When you put him in there, you got to change the offense completely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and then they
mm-hmm.
had the third string quarterback,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
who, for the most part, including last week, they deactivated
mm-hmm.
and couldn't put him in.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the type of quarterback, the third string, that can run the offense. You don't have to change any complete plays or anything like that because he can run a standard pro offense, unlike Tim Tebow. So.
Mm-hmm.
The whole circus is this, that they shouldn't have brought the kid in for one. I guess it was because, I don't know if it was the owner or if it was the general manager
uh-huh.
or if it was the coach or was it a combination
uh-huh.
of two or three or all three,
uh-huh.
thought it would be a good idea to bring Tim Tebow in there and also
uh-huh.
to bring Tony Sperano in there for an offensive coordinator who's run the Wildcat. Well, apparently, and this is probably behind the scenes, and I don't know anything. Apparently, Rex Ryan and Tony Soprano, or one or the other, really don't like Tim Tebow. Maybe not as a person, but
uh-huh.
not as a quarterback to be able to run the offense. So they did everything they could possibly do to not play him a lot, because the fact is he's horrible. Trying to run a straight offense, and he can only run them for some gimmick plays. And the whole Jet organization has been one big circus. Like I said, I keep on saying it. I told
mm-hmm.
everybody that would listen, that would try to get past me leaving the Jets because I was a 40-year fan, I decided to leave them because
mm-hmm.
they're a dysfunctional organization.
Mm-hmm.
From the top down, I'm not talking about from their owner
mm-hmm.
down. Don't know how to run a good organization and
mm-hmm.
put people in place that are going to be able to perform
mm-hmm.
and compete
mm-hmm.
And be able to judge talent, because the talent level has decreased from the first time Mark Sanchez
mm-hmm.
got into the league
mm-hmm.
with the Jets 4 years ago until
mm-hmm.
now. Their
mm-hmm.
talent level has decreased. Rapidly from year to year, and culminating in this year, as bad as they were, I'm surprised they won as many games as they won,
uh-huh.
As bad as they played. But they played a poor cast of teams in the last few weeks, which gave them a shot to win, to even get to almost 500. So I tell you, I hate to say it again and again. I told you so.
No, you're right.
You're
absolutely right.
And I have been calling to put this third string quarterback in a long time ago, because I could see the handwriting on the wall. It was quite obvious that Sanchez was not a starting quarterback in the NFL to take your team to the promised land.
For me, I know who I would take. This is just if I were a Jets fan, here's what I would take.
Mm-hmm.
I would, with the developments that have happened this year, I would be interested in taking an Alex Smith. Because he's not getting that job back. If they win it all or get damn near close, he is not getting that job back. I don't see it. Because you're gonna have to make a decision, because Kaepernick's not gonna sit there unless he's under contract for the next 2 or 3 years, which I'm pretty sure he's not, because he's gonna go somewhere, and I'm pretty sure they're not gonna. Like I said, when they beat you guys and the way he performed, I was like, it's a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get no bigger than 11-1 Houston, and then you go in and then when you beat up on the Patriots, even though they let them come all the way back and tie the game up, but that wasn't his fault.
No, it wasn't.
You just say, well, God dog, you know, if you can handle this in Foxborough, like, Slim, that's your guy.
Right.
You know, and I don't think Alex Smith is going to get his job back. Now, I don't think Alex Smith is a bum. I think you have the right offense and the right coach. I don't know if Rex Ryan is that right coach, because Alex Smith, up until Harbaugh got there, was horrible.
Right.
Now,
he did have a good time, a good season when Norv Turner was in there. So it tells you that he needs the right coach. He needs a coach that
offense and things around him. But
exactly.
And that brings me back to my point, and here's my thing. I'm not saying that you're not right about Tim Tebow, but I just feel, bottom line, I just don't feel like he's gotten a shot, a legitimate shot. Like, okay, we're going to do this. Whether it's dumb it down, dumb it up, smart it, change it, whatever. He has never gotten the opportunity, but yet you got guys like a Alex Smith, like a whoever who was horrible, and who, when you put the right coaching, right system, right everything around them, they can flourish in it. Not saying, and here's the thing, I haven't seen enough of Tim Tebow to make the judgment. Because if you think about it, all I've seen is what he did when he played for the second half, when he played for Denver, which wasn't bad, and I've seen him in college. Think about that. That's not very much to go on. They don't have TV cameras at practice, so I can't see what he's doing in practice. I can only hear what other people are saying. But how many people do we know are anonymous people and say anonymous things about a lot of people? A lot of players are ripping, but they don't put their name to it. So for me, I'm just saying I would like once and for all to see this guy to go through a year so then I can say, all right, he ain't ready for prime time. He ain't that guy. Great. Now we know. But I just don't think he's gotten the shot, and it's not for him not wanting it or for a lack of effort. It's just the fact that he just hasn't. And I think the key for Tim Tebow is he has to go somewhere. Here's the real key. I know it's going to sound so simple or sound stupid, but he needs to go somewhere where the entire organization wants him. That's when you'll get everybody to buy in and do everything they can to see. Then we'll find out. But as long as you have some guy saying, I want it, and another guy saying, I don't want him, and you have this group over here that says, I don't really like him, and this other group says he's horrible, and then when you got that, this is what you get. We didn't use him. And I can't believe that the coach can stand there and sit there and say, yeah, you know, I don't know why. You bought him. You wanted him. You the one who talked about wanting to use him.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you're talking like you don't, like all of a sudden you're, I mean, if you listen to him, he's talking like he didn't even make the decision.
Well,
I mean, like he wasn't even down with it. And I'm just like, how do you do that?
Well, I always go to this Mike Tomlin saying, when a player complains about not getting enough playing time, or not getting given a fair chance. Mike Tomlin always says this: put it on film. Now Tim Tebow has put his play on film for the last half of last year. So for all of those who watched him play and who are much more adept at judging talent than I am. Have seen the 8 games and including the playoffs of what Tim Tebow can do. And
it's not horrible.
Well,
I mean, he won, and he won in the biggest stages of the biggest times. You beat the Steelers.
But
you can't ignore that.
Honestly,
because if it was anybody else, everybody would say, "Oh man, that would be like Kaepernick doing what he did," and everybody goes, "Well, you know, throwing most of some garbage, and he's really not that good, and I don't know what happened." But you can't explain, because on film, when you win, no matter what you do, when you win, that's fine. But my problem is I see lesser quarterbacks who get away with stuff and don't get talked about and put to like this guy does. And all I'm saying is show me where he's bad at. Show me where he's losing games. Look at Mark Sanchez and what he's doing. There's no doubt about it.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But listen to what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is this. Tim Tebow cannot run a normal pro-style offense or pro-style type of offense.
And how do we know that?
Oh, wait a minute. It's been proven when he first started, they tried to run a regular offense, but his skill set does not dictate that he can run a regular offense, because he doesn't have a very accurate arm. He's used to for ever since he was in high school, he's used to the option type of offense.
Right.
But if you put Tim Tebow
mm-hmm.
on the field as a
mm-hmm.
starting quarterback,
mm-hmm.
that means you have to change the whole offense because the skill set of the quarterback dictates that. Now, I understand that they've done that with other quarterbacks, like Kaepernick,
mm-hmm.
with RG3, with Russell Wilson.
I was just about to say, those are options. Especially with RG3's doing, it's nothing but the option.
Yep. What, just listen to what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
But if you look at those all three of those quarterbacks,
uh-huh.
they may be running, they may
uh-huh.
do the option, but...
Uh-huh.
One of the things they can do, they can sit in the pocket and deliver the ball with authority and accuracy down the field. Tim Tebow cannot do that.
Well, he did it last year. But everybody ignores it and says, no, but. Everybody says, I can't get my ass out the way. But. And I keep saying, but all I've seen is him. I've seen him take a team and then everybody goes, you know what everybody says? But it was the defense. But it was the fact that they dumbed down. They had to change the offense. But,
yes.
And I'm saying, if I was a Denver fan, I could give a fat football what he did. He won those games, and they were not bum slum teams. He beat teams that were supposed to be in the play, that were supposed to go further, were supposed to every week knock off Tim Tebow. This is the week they'll lose. Oops, he won again. So all I'm saying to you is I agree with everything you say. I do. But my thing is, but at the end of the day, if he's throwing throws over 15 yards and he's making the play, especially that Steeler one and the other one, you can't tell me. You would have to get, I mean, I'm just saying you're right. Do I believe Tim Tebow can throw it like Robert Griffin III? Heck no, not even close. Can he throw it like Kaepernick? Heck no. But can he run? Yeah. Can he run the option? Yeah. Can he throw as far as they can? No. Can he stand in the pocket and throw it? Obviously he can, because that's what he did last year. But the number one word I keep hearing is, but. I know. But. Yeah. But. And I'm saying, like, when do we get past the but? When do we move the big black girl's ass out the way and say, okay, let me see it for all I'm saying is, let me see it for a whole season. Then I'll judge. Because for me, if Tim Tebow were a black quarterback, and I'm going to say this, if he were a black quarterback and was being treated like this, everybody would say it was racism. Everybody would call it into question, especially if a black quarterback did what he did in the playoffs last year. Everybody would sit and say, but he did this, but he did that. And nobody would be going, well, but, and if they did, they'd be saying, you don't like the black quarterback, or you're just this way or that way or whatever. And I'm just saying, all I'm saying to you is to be fair, Let's give him the same as we get if he were a black quarterback or Chinese or anybody else. All I'm telling you is when he got the chance, he won. And nobody can dispute that. So my thing is, I think based on his what we've seen, I understand what everybody's telling me, but I'm saying but based off what we've seen, all of us, he has not gotten the chance to put that in for a whole year. All I'm saying is give him the chance. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm not saying he's terrible at throwing and all that. Prove it. That's what I want to say. Prove it. Show me. That's what I'm saying. I hope he gets a chance because I want him, because I want somebody to show me. Prove it. Don't tell me. Prove it. Because what I've seen says that he can do something. He's not as flaky or as bad as everybody says, because in those games against the Steelers, in the playoffs, four games, he won. And I'm saying you can't refute that. You can sit and say whatever it is, but you can't get – I don't believe you can get lucky four times. I just don't believe you can get lucky in the NFL four times and be a bum.
That'd be terrible. But
he
did have a strong defense to help carry him, because most of what he did was hand the ball off or did a lot of running plays, and every now and then he threw a little short pass, or just like the one in the Steel game. It wasn't a long pass. It was a short pass, and the guy took it to the house. So it wasn't like he had it.
It wasn't no 5 yards. It wasn't 10 yards. I can tell you right now it was at least, if I look it up here on my laptop, I know that was not a short pass.
Sure was. Absolutely.
That was over the heads of a defense, and the guy was wide open. If I remember right, he got it and took it to the house because he got beat.
He was wide open almost like in the middle of the field. So
whose fault is that?
Well, I mean, that's the defense's fault. But I mean, what I'm saying is this. It wasn't a difficult pass to throw. He threw it. It was on time, and the guy took it to the house. But it was optimum situation that he was in the right spot, threw it to the right guy in the right location, and the guy took it because there was no one in front of him. The guy who was supposed to play him didn't play him right, and the wide receiver took it to the house. Well, I can't discount the games he won, including the playoffs, but he got exposed when he played the Patriots, because what happened is most of these wins he had, and I know he won some games late, but most of the wins he had, he was playing from in front, which you can do that and when you're playing in front, you can run the ball a lot and throw very short scattered passes. When he's playing from behind, like he had to do with the Patriots, he got blown away. So, and I have a tendency to believe, because the film that's on him from the last 8 to 10 games that he played is going to dictate other defenses to do the same thing to him, to limit what he can do, and then force him to do things that he can't, and to put him in a situation. I know Mark Sanchez had 14 games, give or take, and he played bad. But a team would have to change their whole offense for Tim Tebow. And then who would take the chance on putting Tim Tebow in the first game and not pulling him out of any of the games, or letting him play for, say, 14, 15 games, maybe a whole season? Mm-hmm. And have to agonize through the type of limitations that he has.
Okay. Well, all I know is I'm looking up here at the stats from that game, that playoff game. He was 10 of 21 for 316 passing yards, and he was averaging 8.1 yards per play, yards per pass 15, and that was a 30-yard pass.
Oh, was it?
That he threw.
Okay.
And my whole thing is this. I agree with what you're saying, but I guess what I'm saying to you is I want to see him.
Give me a chance.
I just want to see him get a chance, and then we can all say, okay, it's been a full season. You were terrible. This is what, at the end, he'll be judged on what he is. But I'm just saying, based off what we've seen, it's just hard for me to sit there and go, yeah, all right, he's just terrible. My thing is I want him to prove it.
Well, my question is to you then, Mac. We've been going back and forth for like the last 20, 25 minutes about this, but I wanted to ask you, and no one knows except for the organization themselves, why hasn't he gotten that chance in New York?
I think it's me, myself. I don't know why. I think it's a combination. Obvious. I think it's a combination of everybody didn't want it. Some people believe in him. Some people didn't. I just think that's what it is. Because I think if everybody was on the same page and behind the quarterback, I think an organization can, you know. It's like everybody, put it like this. Look at Mark Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Sanchez, everybody is behind Mark Sanchez. Everybody
mm-hmm.
was behind Mark Sanchez. Everybody. He got a full chance, more than most.
Way more than most.
What I mean by that is the organization stayed with him probably longer than they should have.
Oh, absolutely.
So what I'm saying is this shows that when an organization is behind you, you get a full shot. They did everything they could. When they finally pulled the plug, which they should have pulled it sooner, they gave him every chance. The one thing Mark Sanchez cannot come in and say is, I didn't get a shot. It didn't happen. It wasn't fair. You can't say that. So I guess what I'm trying to say to you is, for me, all I'm saying to you is that, hey, look, the dude flat out, man, honestly, you know, he just hasn't gotten a shot. And I just think everybody's not on the same page. Because when a whole organization is behind a quarterback, it goes well. I mean, at least you get a shot. But everywhere he's been, nobody has been behind him.
Okay.
You got to remember, in Denver, he was forced on everybody.
Right. Right.
And at the end of the year, guess what happened? Everybody wasn't on the same page, because when Peyton Manning came, everybody said dump him. They turned on him. When
mm-hmm.
he was there and he was winning and he won them playoff games, did you see John Elway saying, damn it, he won again? No. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
You saw John Elway down there hugging him. Yeah, he's a great guy. Yeah, he's this. As soon as Peyton Manning came available, guess what happened? Oh, man, we're going to let him go. Not that I was mad at him, because, I mean, dude, would I take Peyton Manning over Tim Tebow? You doggone right. The difference is, if I were really behind Tim Tebow, I would have kept him, took Peyton, and let him tutelage him and let him start and let him to be the backup. Tim Tebow wouldn't have complained about that. He got enough sense to know this is a guy who's ahead of me. Let me learn. If we know anything about Tim Tebow, he's never been a selfish dude. Like, nah, man, I ain't going to sit for this.
Right.
But think
right.
about it. He ain't even as – he has every right to complain, and he still ain't complaining.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm just saying, I just want to see the guy – get a full shot. That's all I care about.
Well,
once the full shot is over, I can live with whatever the results are and say, you know what, I can't make an excuse for him. That's my whole thing. But I understand where you're coming from too. You know, I'm just, but like I said, if Tim Tebow were black, we'd all be, black people would be screaming.
Well, you know something, Mac, you got a point there, because I'd probably be one of the first ones to say that, because That's been the stigmatism on a mobile black quarterback for a long time, and now
I'm sick of that stigma too. Because now what they're doing, because now they're going to do the same. They always do the same thing, and that segues to my next thing is that this thing about, and since we're on the subject, I'll talk about RG3. My main problem with RG3 is I don't have a problem with him. I love the guy, great guy. I hate him because he's a Redskin, but that's in a sports sense. But
mm-hmm.
I'm saying, but the guy can do it. But the stigma, the only thing that kills me is the stigma with, and it's always been this way, and it'll always be this way. I just think it'll never end, is that when the first year, second year, when quarterbacks run, it's always supernatural. It's great. We love it. Cool. For some reason, organizations, coaching staff, owners, general managers, who are mostly white, want to change and say, well, let's change now. Now let's make him a pocket passer. It's too dangerous for him to run. And I hate that. Because I'm like, look, if you're going to make him a pocket passer, make him a pocket passer. But don't take his legs from him. Don't sit and say, don't run. You run too much. Think about it. Every quarterback from The only quarterback I actually know that I can actually say in history that I know that was that could that ran his whole career and they kind of allowed it and didn't try to change him too much was Randall Cunningham. That's the only one. All of the rest of them, they told him after a year or two, calm down, let's stay in the pocket, let's pass the ball. They ruined Slash's career doing that in Pittsburgh. Nobody remembers that. I remember. Slash was supernatural. That dude was playing wide receiver, freaking punt returner almost. I mean, he was always doing something, remember? They were having the backup quarterback come in and quarterback and have him run wide receiver. He was running everywhere. And what did they do? Steelers did the same thing they always, what always all these general managers do. Let's make a pocket pass. Stop running. Stay in the pocket more. And what they do? Tore his legs up.
Well, the times have changed because of the amount of teams that can mount a pass rush. You do need a mobile quarterback.
Well, because offensive lines they are not a priority.
Right. And the fact is, these guys, they have legs, but they're not always on the run because the three I talked about, Russell Wilson, RG3, Colin Kaepernick, can deliver the ball without having to run. They can sit in the pocket, both of them, all three of them.
Yep.
And all three of them have very good, accurate arms. So they can deliver the ball down the field without having to run all over the place. So,
I agree with you. But I guess what I'm saying is they did the same thing to Michael Vick.
Right.
They did the same. They're doing the same thing with. I mean, they're kind of. To me, I just think I agree. Times have changed, but I also think of the organization and where you are, because Cam runs still. But when Michael Vick came in the first 2 years, he was running all over. I mean, I remember he was running 60, 70 yards. That's why it makes me laugh when they sit here and look at RG3 and go like, oh man, he's so incredible. I was like, Michael Vick was running 70 yards for touchdowns in the first year or two. So what's the difference? You know, but after a few years, they stopped Michael Vick. They started telling him that. But you know what? I would let Michael Vick run all he wants. That line he got is ridiculous. That man taking so many hits, I'm just like, are you serious? If I were Michael Vick, I'd be like, man, I don't give a doggone what you do. Till you put a line in front of me, I'm going to do whatever I got to do to get that joint down the field. I just think me personally, that quarterbacks, black quarterbacks are evolving. I'm glad to see RG3 doing that. My gut feeling tells me that in the next 2 or 3 years he will not run as much as he does now. And
well,
that's the part I don't like, because it's almost like when you're a black quarterback, it's funny, Steve Young can run his whole damn career and nobody says a word. Don't slow down, don't stop, take hits. When a black quarterback does it, the first time a black quarterback gets hurt, the first thing they say is, well, we're going to stop him from running. And I'm always like, why do you do that? Like, what's the difference? Like, the guys who can't run worth a lick, you'll let them run all they want. And they get hit. Oh, man, he's tough. RG3 gets hit. Oh, man, better pull him back. Better not let him run anymore. Let's slow down. Let's not put him back out there too soon. He'll get hurt. Make him a pocket passer. That way he'll be safe. Get the heck out of here. It's football.
Well, speaking, Mac, speaking of RG3, your friend of mine, who's a friend of the show, who is making it a habit of coming on the show, which is not a problem, no problem with me or you.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Mikal. What's up, my man?
What's up, bro?
Yeah, what's up, man? Hold on. Jerry, you know, I mean, you said, you know, I'm a friend of the show, and of course I'm a friend of the show, and I'm a friend to you. But, you know, your man unfriended me on Facebook and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? He unfriended me on Facebook. So,
That's not true. Let me explain that. Let me explain how that happened. That happened because of my wife. That didn't happen because of me. My wife went on Facebook, who is not a Facebook person. She unfriended about five people or more that I didn't even know. So people start saying, oh, man, you unfriended me? Like, all that? No, I didn't know that. My wife doesn't know how to use Facebook. And she was trying to talk to her kids who are on my page. That's the only way she talks to them, usually on phone, but by Facebook, looking at photos, things like that. So she did it. So if you send me the request, which I was going to get to after Christmas, you send me the request, Mikal, I will refriend you. I did not do it myself. See, here we go. See, I can't get away with nothing. Even when I tell the truth, you know what I mean? Even when I tell the truth. And I knew
I said, watch this. He ain't going to let me off the hook. Not even for Christmas.
You know I ain't going to let you off the hook.
Not even for Christmas. He doesn't take a break.
Not even for Christmas.
Wow. Well, let me ask you
not
this.
Christmas. No, sir.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you agree with what I said about RG3? About the black quarterback and them not letting them run as much or as soon as they get hurt?
I'm sick of the whole discussion, man. I'm really sick of the whole discussion. I think I want to just look at RG3 as a good quarterback, yo, straight up. I mean, because the difference between him and Michael Vick are virtually night and day. Michael Vick is a much better runner than RG3 will ever be.
You think
so? But RG3 is a much better quarterback than Michael Vick will ever be. Much better quarterback.
You're right. I agree with that statement.
The thing about the whole black quarterback, I do agree with you there. You know, I'm just tired of the whole conversation now. You know, now you got a different crop of quarterbacks coming out now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And they're able to run, they're able to throw, they're able to do
mm-hmm.
this and do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I hate to say it, but you can look at that little young man that came out of Florida a couple years ago that's about to get cut from the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can compare him to a couple of the other young black quarterbacks, if you will, if you really must have that whole conversation. I mean, because he is the classic idea of this whole mess. You know, they souped him up so much, and he just need to go ahead and be a tight end or fullback because he can't throw.
I mean, my whole thing with Jerry. It's funny you say that because I don't know if you heard me, but the only thing I told Jerry was I said I just think me personally, I just don't think he's gotten a fair shot. And Jerry agreed with me in the fact of this is that I said if Tim Tebow were a black quarterback and had performed as what he did last year in the playoffs and was getting treated the way he's getting treated now and even before that. I said, black people would have a fit. And Jerry said he agreed because he said I'd probably be the first one. So, to your point, I agree that if he can't do it, that's fine. My thing is the same way I would do is he was a black quarterback, give him the whole year, give him a chance. He hasn't had that. That's all. That's the only thing I ever said is that I don't think he's gotten a fair shake. And when he has gotten a shake, he's won. So, I don't really care.
But he's gotten more than a lot of the black running quarterbacks, if you will, had ever gotten. He was the first one to have, you know, an offense, you know, curtailed to him. You know, totally wrapped around what he can do. Period.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's the same offense with
the full knowledge that he could not throw.
But he runs the same offense that RG3 does. That's what he ran in college.
Here's the difference, though. The difference between those two, you know, now, I mean, RG3 has got the whole thing, the whole kit and caboodle behind it.
You're right.
And I'm happy about it.
I'm happy about it. I am too.
Because I think that's the downfall to Michael Vick. Michael Vick needs to be somewhere with an offense like this. Somebody should have did this for him years ago.
We have been screaming for that type of stuff years ago. And you know,
years ago.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, Mac and Macau, you know this guy personally.
You know him.
He happens to be a blood relative of you.
We have Mr. Vic Gardner
making an appearance on the show. I had to bring him in because I know he couldn't wait to talk. Welcome,
here
Mr.
We go.
Gardner.
What's all the commotion about? I've been
waiting on you.
No, I just knew what was coming. from Macau.
I've been waiting on you.
He's been waiting on you for like 2 weeks.
Oh my goodness.
What's the issue? All I got to say is, I'm glad y'all talking about Tim Tebow because that's what I actually called in about. And I was going to rail just a little bit. I'm going to start a little controversy. And I'm going to let you guys go at it.
Here we go.
You know how Mac likes to say that everybody feels as though that RG3 is Jesus and everything. What about, you know, Tebow, who they actually depict as Jesus? And when he took photos with Florida, how he was supposedly, you know, on a cross and stuff like that, and how he's supposed to be that type of quarterback. Hold on 1 second.
Hello?
Well, he's going to Jacksonville.
Got you on that for a second.
Yeah, he's going to Jacksonville, though, Slim.
Okay.
Oh, I
he's
believe
finally going to get to Jacksonville. Finally.
I'm glad he just gets the shot, because if once he gets there and he gets the shot, if he doesn't perform, I'll be the first one to say, okay, he wasn't what they thought he was. But here's the one thing that's undeniable. The only reason why I said the thing about, when I said what I said about RG3, I said that in the fact that some people are taking it too far with RG3. Not Macau, but some of the other fans take it too far with this guy. They say it as if, like, this is the first time we had a great black quarterback. And I'm like, that's not true. And he does this and he does that. And I'm like, okay, he's gifted. No, he got it. Don't get me wrong. But I just think some Redskins fans just go too far. Like, I had a guy, like I told you, I had a fan comparing him to Jordan. And I'm like, stop playing. Like, you're smoking grass. Like, stop doing that. Like, you got to stop that. Like, put it in perspective. It's his first year.
We've never had a player like this, dude. We've never player like this.
That part I will never tell you that you don't have a right. But, Mikhail, you keep it in perspective. Other fans, a lot of fans don't. And I watch them, I hear them on Facebook and all that, and I'm just like, man, you guys are getting to the point where it's not just he's a great quarterback. Y'all acting like this guy is like a god. And I'm just like, Slim, y'all going too far with that. You know, that's just me. Now, as far as Tebow's concerned, no, I never – my thing is, all I ever said was Tebow needs to get a fair shot, and he hasn't had a fair shot. That's all I said. I just want him to get a fair shot. But the one thing you can't deny is you're saying that Tim Tebow came into the NFL with all that fanfare. He should have. The dude did what he did in college. He did what he did in college.
Right.
I mean, he did it. The numbers don't lie. He did what he was supposed to. It's the same thing as Johnny Football. Johnny Football come out and go, everybody's going to say he came with all this fanfare. Well, you should. When you do it at the highest level in college, you should come in with fanfare. Everybody should. Robert Griffin came in with fanfare from what he did. And what he was doing in college was ridiculous. It was absolutely, it was great.
I think what we're alluding to is, you know, he came in, you know, to so much fanfare, but there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of guys that came through without that kind of fanfare that
right.
had played like him.
Okay.
And pretty much he was the first one to really have his whole offense curtailed to him.
Okay.
Very first one.
And he deserves it because he did it at the highest level in college. He should do it. Just like they did
yeah,
it for RG3.
Okay, so what happened? So what happened
RG3
to
RG3 came in and has
well,
an
what,
option.
What happened to Charlie Ward? What happened then? What happened
to
T.A. Smith? What happened to Michael Vick? Mike Vick still don't have no offense curtail.
Hey Jerry, what did I say to you, Jerry? What did I say before these two came on? Did I not say it depends on where the quarterback goes, the organization?
Right.
That's exactly what I said. So
yeah,
I agree with what you're saying. So I'm not saying what's fair or not fair, but what I'm saying is you have to go. Nobody can be mad at Tim Tebow because he happened to go to a place where people did it. I understand what you're alluding to, saying that if you're a white guy and a quarterback, people will adjust to what you do, but they won't do it to a black guy. I'm not only saying that.
I'm saying that he had his shot.
And what did he do with that shot?
Can I interject just a bit? I say this, that Tim Tebow, he came in first round drafted. Kevin Finley was there because NFL scouts and NFL personnel felt that he didn't have the tools to be the NFL quarterback.
Exactly.
In practice, his own teammates, you know, were covering and saying, "Oh, well, he's got to get his accuracy down." Da 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 da. He won games on the strength of the Denver Broncos defense. He completed like what, three passes? He was like 3%.
If he was black, would you say that?
I would say
if he were a black quarterback, would you say that?
Yes,
I'm asking.
I said
okay.
Yes, because
well, Jerry said he
performing,
would.
If he was performing, well, Jerry's an old guy. But
no, But if you were, but I'm gonna tell you this. I don't believe you because I believe if Tim Tebow were a black quarterback and was treated the way he was being treated right now and had a hat and did what he did, we all be sitting on here saying that the NFL was being racist toward him.
No, this is an ass backwards conversation. You're false, and you can't tell me I'm lying. But I said the same thing about Vince Young. Vince Young, to me, was garbage. He threw the ball into the ground more times than not. Okay, baby, I'll be quiet. Therefore, what you're telling me is irrelevant. Your thought is irrelevant to me because you didn't know my thoughts on Vince Young.
Did Vince win a Heisman?
Yeah.
Did Vince win a Heisman? Did Vince perform in college?
How slow are you, dude? He won the Heisman.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Okay. He was the best quarterback in college football.
So what are you saying? Nobody should come in with fanfare? So because
he
got a chance to turn out to be a bum. He got years.
Right.
He got years to show that he was a bum. Tim Tebow had one half of one season in the playoffs in a big time beat teams that were supposed to be perennial playoff teams, but everybody goes, so what? Get the black woman ass out of the way. Everybody keeps saying, but. And that doesn't make a sense because if it was a black quarterback, you guys wouldn't be saying that.
No, this is asinine. I'm gonna tell you why. The dude played quarterback for a top quarterback, a top Hall of Fame quarterback that was in the office with him. And that dude was itching to get rid of him. And the moment he got a chance to get rid of him, he got rid of him.
Is Peyton Manning better than Tim Tebow? Is Peyton Manning better than Tim Tebow?
They had to come up with somebody better than Tim Tebow in order to justify getting rid of him. I'm just asking, was he better than Tim Tebow?
Would you take him over Tim Tebow? They had to have
someone that was more marketable than he is to get rid of him.
I'm just asking you, anybody would have made that move.
You're saying because
a Hall of Fame quarterback got rid of Tim Tebow for a potential future Hall of Fame quarterback with better numbers, better everything than this guy, you're telling me that proves he's a bum? Like the dude
just got through winning
games in the playoff against perennial teams that were favored to go to the Super Bowl.
Oh my God.
And you're sitting
here telling me you're sitting up here defending this dude as to say that he didn't get a fair shot. And I'm telling you, he got a shot. He got his shot
on a team that at the end of the season opted to get a Hall of Fame quarterback. But what
exactly.
Mac is saying is he moved to the Jets with the thought, maybe the Jets' thought, of giving him a shot to compete for the starting quarterback position. And as bad as Mark Sanchez has played, Max saying he didn't even get a fair shot to take Mark Sanchez's place.
All I'm saying is, Tim Tebow has not gotten a full year to play where we can judge him. He hasn't. And when he did play, he won. But everybody says that everybody makes excuses when Tim Tebow won. Oh, man, if there was a black quarterback that had won last year in that playoffs and did that same showing and was sitting here now, black people would be sitting here saying it's racist. I know.
Yes, they would.
Matt, I'll tell you this. If whoever trades for him, or if the Jets release him, they have a fair competition, an open, fair competition for him to either start or make a team.
Mm-hmm.
And if he does not outperform, let's say, because he did not perform Mark Sanchez over the guy at the job. Let me see.
You're telling me after the year Mark Sanchez, we don't know Tim Tebow could do better than Mark Sanchez because he never got a chance. And Mark Sanchez looked like some pure
they
garbage.
They chose the third string quarterback to start.
Okay.
Oh my God. Tim Tebow is only going one place, and that's Jacksonville.
That's fine. Here's my thing. If you guys are saying these things about Tim Tebow, okay, fine. But my thing is the same thing as basketball. I'm in a basketball arena. I coach basketball. That's all I've been all my life. So here's what I'm telling you. Ain't nobody. If I put a point guard into a basketball game, and three to four games, he performs well and does great, and then he comes in the next year, and you keep telling me why he can't do this and why he can't do that, and all I said, I'm gonna take him on my team, and I'm gonna give him a full year before I make the judgment. I'm not gonna take him based off what everybody keep telling me, because what I've seen of him, he's won. But all you keep hearing about is everybody else said.
Well, you go right ahead and continue pleading for that white man's bird.
I'm not pleading for anything. All I'm saying to you is keep doing that.
Go right
okay,
ahead.
Okay, good. Because guess what? I'm going to give you an example. Wait a minute, I'm going to give you an example. Two summers ago, I sat next to a team at the Goodman, and I'm watching the game. And this team is playing, and I'm sitting next to my girl. I'm sitting next, not to my girl like my wife, but I'm sitting next to a friend of mine. She tells me, man, this dude got this dude over here sitting on the bench and ain't put him in. The dude can bump. He can go. He can? Yeah. Why are you sitting on the bench? I don't know. This dude don't know what the hell he's doing. The dude just sitting there. Whole game, don't play at all. So I'm sitting here going based off what she said. I'm like, really? Really? Okay. The game is over. So then I go to the coach and say, look, I tell him, I say, look, man, if you ain't going to use him, I take him with him based on what she's saying. So he goes, you know what he tells me? Man, he don't even know nothing about the game. He don't know how to play. I said, okay. So you let me have him? Yeah, he can have it. Get the guy to play with me. This is about two or three years. It's now the third summer. This dude, come to find out, he played over in Switzerland. He can boogie. He can go. But if I went based off what that coach said, and I hadn't seen what I saw, I would have made the same judgment. What I'm trying to tell you is, if Tim Tebow is so bad, then I'm just saying, give me a chance, prove it. Let him prove it. Because what I've seen of him, he's won. And it's only a half season. So all I'm saying to you is get more. It ain't about pleading. It's about saying get prove it then. Prove it. Because right now everybody's saying he can do all this, he can do all that, but what I've seen is him win. And y'all can't. And you can sit and say butt and ass and get the woman's ass in the way and keep saying butt and maybe it's this, it's that, it's the defense, it's this and that. You can say all that.
I sure can. Because it's a free country. And I don't have to prove it. It's proven by him sitting on the bench and the third string quarterback starting for the Jets. They traded for him, they paid the money to get him over there, and they he ain't even starting the game. He
but
ain't
everybody
starting
don't,
the game.
But everybody
he
don't
ain't,
let him
he
over
ain't
there.
Starting the game.
But everybody
all
don't let him over there.
And all everybody in the NFL know that that man cannot play the quarterback position.
Okay.
They
guess
know.
What?
Well, they know.
Well, guess
know.
What? If he proves to be a bum and he proves to be a bust, I told you, just like I said, Jerry, before y'all got here, I told him, if that's what it is, then I'll be the first one to say, okay, he can't do it. But based on what I see, not what everybody else says, not what everybody else's actions, not what everybody keeps saying what they see, not secondhand, what I saw him do, he won.
Okay, you take Tim Tebow, I keep RG3. Thank you.
You can have RG3.
That's right.
You can have Kirby.
I'm
I don't care.
And I'm going to keep him. And I'm going to keep
him. Good,
you
keep
him. And I'm going to keep him. And I'm going to put Wilson on the bench. Yeah.
Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mac. We happen to be overtime, but if you want to keep it going, that's up to you. I'm just letting you know.
No, we good. I've had a lot of discussion with Mikal. I'm leaving. While Mikal is sane, because tonight he's acting very sanely tonight. He's not acting like a Tasmanian devil, so he's doing very well tonight. And I'm gonna leave while I'm getting
serious
too. Yeah, we do got a serious echo.
That's because I'm on my phone. I got to go into my car because I'm with my wife doing a little Christmas shopping.
Well, why don't you get your ass off the phone? Let us on with our show. Then.
Yeah,
well,
yeah. Why you got her listening to a bunch of dudes, a bunch of roosters in the rooster nest sitting up here making a whole bunch of noise? Hey, get on up out of here.
Hey, just because y'all ain't got no life don't mean I don't.
What?
Hell,
yeah, we ain't got no life now. I'm going to let Mikal. Hey, Mikal, go ahead. You can handle that, Mikal. I'm gone. I'm going to step out the way on that one.
Don't worry about it. I just muted him, so that whatever echo we have.
Yeah, mute him. Mute him.
Not there anymore.
So let's talk about him like we normally talk about him, so it's your opinion about him. How about that?
Oh,
this
God.
Is how I go down on this joint, for real.
Oh,
we be talking about little, what's that nickname we call him? We got about 100 nicknames for him.
I don't even know the nicknames.
Too
I didn't
sweet.
Even know that.
Remember that?
Too sweet.
Too
oh
sweet.
Oh, my God.
Too
no,
sweet.
He no,
too,
he didn't.
Too sweet.
Hey, Slim, I'm done. Hey, man, I'm done. Hey, man,
too sweet.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Mikal, you know we're gonna, you know I'm gonna hear about it tomorrow when he on the show.
Mikal,
you know that.
You a damn fool.
He gonna be on the show tomorrow.
Oh,
good.
Oh yeah, he'll be there.
Come
in
get
fact,
some more.
Know, in fact, I'm gonna bring him back because I know he can't wait.
Oh
to
my
respond.
God. No, he did not.
Are you there now?
Of course I'm here. That little bald head, Google nut.
That is the laugh of the year. When that fool said, this Bama is too sweet, I'm done. If I ever see that movie like that, I swear to God, I'm done. I'm done. I ain't buying eating or drinking because you might not see me. Y'all find out in the vigiary, I choked to death. Oh, my God, that's funny. Boy, you are a damn fool. Mikhail, whenever you start your stand-up, I'm coming. You are a fool, man. Seriously, man. That's terrible, man. That is just terrible. I told you, Jerry, but I told you a long time ago.
I'm going to kill all of y'all, just to let you know that I'm killing all of y'all.
Now he done switched up from Too Sweet to John Allen. Come on, Trev. Stop that. You're going to make me worry about you.
Oh, hey, my God.
You know what, though, Mac? Nah, it's not a comedian. I'm not a comedian.
Oh, my God.
I've always been an MC. I can work a crowd all day long.
Let me tell you something. CJ, Mikhail, this is why Mikhail don't bother me. But at the same time, dude, Mikhail is the kind of dudes that I grew up around. They'll fight you. They'll fight for you. Loyal dudes. But if you ever get into what we used to call, you know what we used to call it, the dozens.
Dirty dozens. Yeah, the dozens. Yeah, oh, yeah.
The crackhead stuff. Mm-hmm. Man, Mikhail was a dude I'd be like, I can get that. I can make a nigga want to put his hands on me. But Mikhail one of them dudes that keep on with you all day long to where either you're going to do two things. Either you're going to either be strong mentally or you're going to cry like a bitch and be mad all day. And this dude found like 15 different ways to piss you off all day. I'm telling you, that's the dudes I grew up with. That's why when Mikhail started on me, I can go back and forth with him because I'm like, I already seen you before. Dude, I done seen about 10 of y'all. Dude, we used to run around the school, about 10 of us. We would skip school and go to other schools. And it would just be the Joan on people talking about. We used to do that all day long. And a dude like Mikhail would find stuff that you would not even realize was funny and would just keep going. And then he bust on a dude in the morning and then use the same joke back on the dude in the opposite way in the afternoon, and you be like, oh, man, I forgot all about that. And you just be gone again. Mikhail would get me in trouble. He's the dude that would get me in trouble in class. Because that battle with his car, that dude's too sweet in the classroom, I would have been in the back room. I would have been on the floor. I would have just got up and said, send me to the office.
It's just straight up being able to, you know, work a crowd. I've been on stage and people just like, you know, just went in on me and whatnot, and I just had to stand there and just either go back at them, you know what I'm saying, or work it. You know what I'm saying? Work it. So it's like, damn. So if I step on there in front of some folks, I can handle it any way they go. No.
But the funny part about you, which is like my other friends, is that they would be joning, but they're not really trying. That's the scary. The funniest people are the people who are not trying to be funny, but the people who are funny. Y'all just say stuff like when you said the Too Sweet thing. Honestly, I was done. I just fell out the chair because at that point I just saw Jerry Curl. I saw that nappy afro. I saw your cousin in the whole get-up, and I was done. I was just done. You painted a vivid picture.
What you need to see, though, for real, is the lips. You need to see the lips. You go look at that video. You look at that movie. You look at that dude's lips. Look just like my cousin, Slim. No lie.
Oh, my God. I'm done, man. Oh, my God.
Hey, Michael, shut up. Huh? I'm not talking about, but shut up.
Oh my God!
Hey, make sure you send me my damn Christmas card, Slim. You do that. That's what you supposed to do. You do that.
I got it. You get your card every day, but you don't get it.
Oh Lord!
I don't have an address, Michael. I would have sent it already.
I sent him my address. See, there you go. Just out of it right there. Send them the address and everything, and you'll get them.
Street can't hear you.
Get them.
Oh, Lord. Oh, man.
Hey, if you want something done, don't expect Vic to do it. Let Azure do it for you.
What happened to the chick that's got the show on here? What's her Compassion Zucchini? Bikini?
She's in the Everglades. Hey, you gotta talk to Mac about that. Black
plausible
about that.
Plausible deniability.
But what I will say is, I don't know why we didn't have a show last Saturday. You know, I'm depending on somebody to at least run a rerun. I look at it.
I had to mute him. I don't
want
to hear that.
We don't need to hear that.
This man is the guy who runs everything, and everybody is having a mutiny today. This man is calling him too sweet, a prisoner. His man is muting him, and we just going in on him. Y'all is nuts, man. Something is wrong with y'all, man. And y'all pick my show to do it. Dude, if the listenership don't pick up on my show, I'm going to be shocked. You dudes are fools. One dude, his right-hand man, that muted him, and his cousin just went off on him. Called this man a prisoner. Slim, I am never going to look at penitentiary the same ever again. Ever. For the rest of my life, every time I see Too Sweet, I'm not going to think of, what's his name? I can't remember his name. Lee something
else.
Whatever his name is, I'm going to think
Leon
Victor.
Isaac.
Yes, Leon Isaac Kennedy. It's going to be straight Victor. I was just like, oh, my God. You have completely changed my whole thinking. You have just shifted it when you said Too Sweet. I can see Too Sweet in an army uniform because I've seen his pictures. Oh my God. Too Sweet joins the army. I'm going to apply for somebody to make that movie.
Oh my God.
Too Sweet goes to Washington. Let's put him in a suit.
Oh, man. You better unmute me.
You're not muted. You're not muted. You haven't been muted for a couple of minutes now. You can say whatever you want to say.
You can say whatever you want to say to your employees mutiny against your ass again.
I'm going to treat y'all like hostess and shut you down.
You're going to shut us down. You're going to take your little sand bucket and your little sand shovel and leave the place.
You know what this is. He's going to come out here and take his football and say, I don't want to play no more, and then he's going to go in the house. That's what he's going to do.
Too Sweet quits football.
Oh, boy.
I ain't playing in this prison yard no more.
I ain't messing with my cousin no more, man. I love him to death. I love him so much. I do.
Make sure you don't take no collect calls from him.
No collect calls from Cali, huh?
Mr. McCall, this is a collect call from Alcatraz.
No, this is a collect call from California State Prison System.
Damn.
Will you accept the charges?
Hell no.
Hang up right now.
Hang up now, Jerry. In the show now.
You want in the show? You want in the show? Because my favorite.
This is not my show. I can't just end it.
Hey, Mikhail, he wanna leave now because he's getting cooked like shit.
He wanna take his football now.
This nigga keep mumbling like the dude from the little movie. This nigga just keep mumbling.
I'm reducing your. Oh, wow.
Oh, man, you're reducing me. Come on, man.
I'm with the wife at the TV.
Oh, man.
That's the CEO,
because you can't say what you want to say, Vic.
Right, that's the CEO anyway.
You can't say anything.
That's the CEO anyway. That's the one that's running everything.
All right.
And you know
he's the warden of the prison.
all of y'all think something. All y'all are assholes right now.
Hold on. What was my man Leon Isaac Kennedy's wife? What's her name?
Jane Kennedy.
There we go. She's
Jane
the Jane Kennedy.
Hey, but look, you notice there's no more echo, right? He took that Joan off speakerphone, right?
You dummy. He didn't want his wife to hear him getting barbecued. Hey, Slim, we'd have been in trouble if she had heard it, because she probably would have bust out laughing at some point, and we'd have been done. That time would have hung up the phone. Clicker.
Hey, look, can you imagine something that we said in that bedroom, Slim? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Treat me like a prisoner, too sweet.
You know what? Y'all are assholes. I promise.
Oh man.
No, because I've been waiting on you, cause I just wanted to hear your take on that whole Pacquiao thing.
Oh,
you know, because I had a nice picture on my Facebook page where he was laying flat down on his face.
Oh, man. Yeah.
We've run out of time. It's time to go.
No, we got time.
I mean, we got enough time for Vic to respond to that.
Vic, respond to your bunkmate. I mean, Pacquiao getting knocked out.
He hung up.
Oh!
He hung up.
Oh no, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
He hung up. Hey, McCall.
Yeah.
That's what I call a slat-out knockout. When you hang up like that, are you serious?
He hung up.
Oh, man. All I can say is, McCall, you got a lot to deal with, bruh. I'm not a relative.
Hey, but I got my own show. I got my own network.
Hey, McKay, he gonna call in on your show and go off. He gonna try to get you back. He's gonna try to get us all back.
Wait a minute.
You know how he try to get us back, though, right? Every time we post something on Facebook, he got something smart to say. He be like, man, go here, Vic. Man, go on with that. Vic do that every time I post something.
He don't want to do that on the Facebook page, on the show. He don't want to do that.
Let me tell you something.
I don't have to say anything. If he come up there and say something crazy, I don't got to say that.
I'm just going to sit back and be like,
Yeah. What y'all think about that?
Hey, McKyle, let me tell you. I just want to personally wish you a happy and merry Christmas because you have, look, dude. I've had some incidents the last couple of days, not bad stuff, but just wiped a smile off my face. And let me tell you something, brother, you just took me back to 1984, Slim. That jump, man, we used to sit in high school and just Joan. Dude, I have not barbecued nobody like that in a while. This Bama said too sweet and I had lost my mind. I was like, man, that is too funny. Slim, you're giving me the laugh of the year. I am going to post that on Facebook. Send me your friend request because I am going to post that on my Facebook. This man, I'm going to put on there, this nigga called this dude freaking too sweet. Slim, I'm done, and I'm posting the picture. Man, I promise you, I'm going to post the picture of too sweet on that joint and post Victor's.
Oh, don't get me started. You know, I got Photoshop over this joint.
I'm done.
I got Photoshop over this joint.
Oh my god. No, you did not say Photoshop.
I would not do that. I would not do that.
I wouldn't want you to do that to him because I'm gonna tell you, he would. Oh man, I don't know.
I know he would because
we might see something in the paper tomorrow. Military man goes and shoots up radio station.
That fool ain't nothing but a younger version of me. Whether he like it or not, whether he say it or not, he's a younger version of me.
Vic is hilarious, man. I cannot believe this fool McKyle called this family too sweet. I'm done. I mean, every time I see now you mess Jerry. Jerry, every time you see it, you gonna know exactly. You gonna think that every time.
Every time I see it, I'm gonna say somewhere right now. Mikhail and Jerry are somewhere laughing, and right now Victor is pissed.
Actually, you know that's we did that like a long time ago, right, Jerry?
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Right now, I'm looking at a trailer from Penitentiary.
Oh my gosh! I'm not doing it. If I do it, I'm gonna fall out. I'm not doing it, man.
Too sweet, strutting through the prison yard.
Oh, my gosh. Come on, man. Come on, Jerry. Hey, Jerry, I dare you post that on your Facebook page. I'm not putting the trailer on there, but I am sure going to put that picture up there and say, man, this nigga called this dude too sweet. I'm done. You make sure you send me your friend request, because I'm telling you, Slim, that's funny. That is the funniest laugh I've had all year. I have never been sucker punched by a laugh and fell out of the chair. I was like, no, you do.
That
hairstyle is so bad, man. I mean, all I could see was Victor in a military suit looking like Too Sweet. I was done. I was like, man, that is just one picture I cannot take. Oh, my God.
Afro with a receding hairline.
I'm done. Oh my gosh. I'm done.
That's Leon Kennedy Isaac. Oh, Isaac Kennedy.
I'm looking at right now.
They're fighting in the jail cell.
You know what? I'm done. That's it. Jerry is a fool, man. Jerry, you know what? Let me tell you something, Mikhail. That's pretty. We'd have done a pretty good job. When we get Jerry involved, because you know Jerry hard to get involved. Jerry be like playing, be like, nah, I ain't gonna do that. Jerry be laughing like I don't know what. That's why I know. If that had been his wife, and his wife had heard that crap, she'd have started laughing. I said, man, we'd have been dead. That man would have been like, you laughing? Like what? All you'd have heard was, hey, you know how somebody, Mikhail, you ever heard when somebody hang up the phone so hard that the joint go, the mic go,
God, they'd have been in the car. You'd have heard the screech from the tires with the car to stop.
Yeah, then you'd have heard, you'd have like, click up. You're like, what happened? Oh, man, but anyway. Hey, look, I'm going to end this show. Mikhail, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for that laugh. Slim, the Bible says, a merry heart maketh better, or whatever it says. But you made me laugh, dog. I have not laughed that hard in a long time. Dog, it's been at least a year. You are a certified fool. I don't know what you are a certified fool. That junk was funny as I don't know what. Slim, you have forever changed me about the damn thing. That damn prison joke. I'm done. And the next time I see it on late, I'm gonna put it on Facebook. I'm gonna put your name on there. I'm gonna put Jerry's name. Slim. I'm watching whatever the name of that joint. When I see it, I know what it is. Penitentiary. I'm gonna say I'm watching Penitentiary, or I'm watching Penitentiary too. And when I put it on there, I'm like, start laughing, fella.
Jerry, it's three of them, right? One, two, and three.
I know. Penitentiary and Penitentiary too. Is there another one?
There might be.
I think it's three of them. I mean, I know one of them had Mr. T in the joint, and one of them had Muhammad Ali. Oh, yeah. Hey, man, Penitentiary was the business back then.
Oh, yeah.
Tell them,
Jerry. Absolutely.
Hold on. I'm looking it up now. Penitentiary.
I can't remember. I think it was Penitentiary 2, and it had Mr. T in it and Muhammad Ali.
Oh, is that right?
I think so. Because he did a couple of movies. It was another movie he did where he played a boxer.
Penitentiary.
And he was called Leon the Lover.
Penitentiary, it was in 79. Penitentiary 2 was in 82. Penitentiary 3 was, let me see what year that was.
84, 85.
It was.
Mr. T was in Penitentiary 2.
Oh, he was. I never knew that. So that's where they got him from for the Rocky joint. Oh, they said Penitentiary 3 theatrical release was 10/10/2004. Leon Isaac Kennedy, Anthony.
1987. 1987.
It was 87.
Yeah, 87.
87.
Yeah, 87. It said theatrical release. I was like, what the heck? It's like, well, I know Leon Isaac Kennedy would have been great, even white hair in 2004. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, they probably just got it in the theaters then, because I think he, that third one, it just went straight to video.
Yeah.
Because the first two I saw, the first one, it was one of the first movies I got to see on cable, because we had just gotten cable.
Right.
And we had Super TV out here. I watched that joint on Super TV. Yep. Yeah.
Hey, stop. You're killing me.
Look,
do you remember?
You used to have to have a box, right? And channel 50 was the scramble channel. So you couldn't see nothing if you ain't had, like, the box. So all you saw was the little lines on the screen and whatnot. And you had to get the box, and then it would turn the joint on. What was you going to ask me?
That's exactly what I was going to ask. I said, dude, Slim, do you remember you used to buy the cable boxes, the steel cable? That's how you used to see HBO, all that stuff. You'd be like, man, I ain't paying for HBO. You'd be like, I'm going to get the scramble box. Now, I remember when I see growing up in Detroit, we used to go over to Canada because Canada used to sell the boxes. So you would go over to Canada, get the boxes, come back. In fact, I knew a friend of mine that would go over there and get like 7-8 of them boxes, come back and sell them for like $200, making a profit like I don't know what. I remember that. I was like, man, I remember that. Mm-hmm. We said Super TV. I was like, shoot, what you want to call it? You were putting Super. It was steal a TV. That's what it was. It was like, you steal a TV. You turn that thing on, you right.
Nowadays, you only need the little splitter now. You only need the little splitter. You need a dude that can connect the joint up into the telephone, and then you need this one little splitter.
Wow.
That shouldn't cost you no more than $25,
$50.
Nah,
what you
That's
need
tip
is
for the day.
Either that or the other tip, what you need to do is get you a satellite or a cable dude that you can pay. Hook it up for you till they find out. It might be months.
Well, actually, you know what? There is something you can do there. There's you could get like the satellite dish, you know what I mean? And and then turn it off. Right? Then turn it off, but keep the dish. And then you could this software you can purchase to use and to, you know, get it to work.
What?
Oh, yeah.
You find out Macau's got a radio show on how to steal cables.
Nah, that ain't stealing. It ain't stealing, man.
Because you can go buy the box legitimately in Best Buy.
Because you could purchase, the dish. Legitimately,
right.
As a matter of
right.
fact, you don't even have to buy their dishes. You can go buy, another dish, and then buy, the other software and stuff, and watch what you want to watch.
That's true. I forgot about that. Oh my gosh, I'm done.
They doing it in Africa.
Oh Lord. Anyway, I'm about to. All I know is, Mikhail, thank you for coming on. Jerry, thanks for another great show.
Always good.
Merry Christmas to both you guys, because I know I won't talk to you before Christmas. But I can tell you, Mikhail, send me my friend request, and I swear to God, I'll put that thing up tonight on Penitentiary so you can have a good laugh. And you have given me the laugh of the year, boy. I tell you, I am you are truly a fool. I'm done. You are the comedy king. I am done. I bow my sword to you. You are hilarious. you're an idiot. I was just like, man, no, he didn't. Took a few minutes, but it got on me. But anyway, we will be back next week. Hopefully, Makai will stop back by, and hopefully his cousin will stop by, and we can continue the barbecue. But until then, you are such a bad influence on me, Makai, because I would have never did that if it hadn't been for you. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Anyway, I'm gonna call up tomorrow and make his day even much more bright.
Oh my God! Slim.
And my goal is to get Jerry to laugh. Don't think Jerry
ain't gonna get it because he muted him. I was just like, oh man, he was like, if you heard him over there mumbling,
okay.
I'm gonna get every one of y'all. I'm gonna get all y'all back. I swear to God, I'm gonna get every last one of y'all back. I'm gonna get every last one. He whispered, "Ray, hey, look, he all in the phone like this because he don't want his wife to hear." Oh, I'm gonna get every last one. I'm gonna get every last one. I was like, what the hell? I was like, expect this Bama to turn into psycho like a mug. I said, he is mad, boy. I said, he is heated right now. So I know his wife looking at him right about now saying, honey, you're a little dark. What happened? Yeah, he got toasted by my cow. Too sweet. Boy, wait till the next time he messes with me about something. Treat me like a prisoner, baby. Anyway. all right. Well, that's it. I'll see you guys next week. Thank y'all for your contributions, and we are out.